Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Sarah Waters' novel, Fingersmith, has all the hallmarks of a classic thriller set in the Victorian era. There's a pickpocket, a con man, and a ploy to cheat a young heiress out of her fortune. But as is slowly revealed, not everything is what it seems. Fingersmith was shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize in 2002, and now it's been faithfully adapted into a new play for the American Repertory Theater. The show generally follows an orphan pickpocket, a fingersmith who poses as a maid to gain the trust of a wealthy heiress, and her job is to persuade the heiress to elope with a con man who plans to swindle her of her fortune. But again, I have to say, not everything is as it seems. And it's playwright Alexa Young who put Fingersmith on stage. She's also an Emmy-nominated television writer who's worked on shows such as Friends, Sex and the City, and The West Wing. And Alexa Young joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, there are a lot of twists and turns in Fingersmith, and we don't want to give them away. But do you think I gave you a fair sort of plot summary as to what happens here?
Yes, that was very enticing.
So it's set in the Victorian era. Now, what is it about Fingersmith, the novel, first of all, that captivated you so much?
Well, it's incredibly vivid, and it's kind of almost like watching a movie to read it. But I think I was really captivated by the characters first and foremost, and the fact that it's kind of a ripping yarn that sneaks up on you because it's actually quite political and has a lot to say about women and women's roles. So I think the kind of cumulative party pack of great things happening was extremely compelling. And by the time I finished it, I was already imagining, trying to put these characters on a stage.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second, because I think when people heard me introduce sort of the rough outline of the plot here and they hear the words orphan pickpocket, right? a Dickensian young boy probably comes to mind, but that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's right. Sarah Waters, I don't know, for those who, there are many who know and love her work. She's a beloved treasure in England and many, many, many devoted fans here. But one of the things that she's doing and she's interested in kind of the fiction writing that she does is reclaiming roles for women in a way that is kind of contemporary, in that we're seeing women be aggressive and assertive and being in the center stage of a work where traditionally, if it were Dickens, they might not be. But she's interested in creating a fiction where women are kind of being activated in that way, and yet it feels extremely faithful to the kind of work that was done at that time. So you could imagine this book, alongside many other Dickens books or, Wilkie or any of those kinds of classics from the time. So it's a sort of neo-Victorian way of getting into all of it. But yet I think she's, because it's such a Valentine to a great story, you find yourself completely sort of seduced and consumed by the action.
Yeah, I mean, you've called the novel beforehand a Valentine to the Gothic thriller, domestic drama, and Victorian sensation novel.
Yeah.
I mean, have you always been a fan of this genre and the stories that come out or are set in that mid to late 19th century in England?
I am. I think that I have always sort of had an anachronistic love of and kind of yearning towards this time, just generally, even probably when I was a kid. But yeah, I did my sort of my thesis for college on a short story called The Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, which is sort of in the same area. It's a little bit spooky, but it's sort of about feminists and the sort of oppression of that. That's about a lot about hysteria and the way that women were sort of, said to be crazy or hysterical and, put into places to take care of them when they were just being sort of, tortured by the patriarchy. So.
I mean, what do you think it is about this particular time period and Victorian writing that seems to so continuously captivate us? You're not the only one. I mean, there's something about stories set in the soot-blackened back alleys of London in, 1880 that still seem to speak to us in 2016.
I think that people are really compelled by the class issues. Yeah. I think that that really is something that, you know, we often identify with the sort of Victorian hero because they're scrappy and they're, you know, it's about sort of, you know, the sort of take down the king mentality. And I think that's instantly, for me, that really hooks you into wanting these characters to be successful, but being willing to go on whatever ride they need to go on. And, mm-hmm. and they don't need to be, you know, red, yellow, and blue in terms of like villains and, you know, heroes. And that's one of the things I love about Sarah Waters' work is that she's using Dickensian, like, you know, one of the characters' name is Mrs. Suxby, and she's a baby farmer. So there's a kind of awareness that there's a Dickensian kind of labeling going on, and yet they can be more than one thing at a time.
Yeah. But just to return to a point you were making earlier, I mean, Dickens did an exquisite job in talking about the social and class structures of Victorian England as it largely applied to the lives of men. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so compelling to both, you know, read Fingersmith the novel and see it on stage, because what we don't read all that often in literature is how it affected the lives of women. And here the heart of the play and the novel centers around three women, right?
That's right. And it's none of them have agency. They are all sort of relegated to certain roles that, you know, if they don't sort of, one of the characters says, you know, we'll never get what we're due if we don't take it for ourselves. And I think that, you know, I think that I find that relevant in terms of contemporary culture in some ways, especially these days for me. But at the same time, you know, it didn't matter whether you were a high class woman. One of the characters in the play is she's very wealthy, but is imprisoned by her uncle and literally not allowed to like go outside or, you know, use money, or she's never learned to ride a horse, and, you know, is very much stuck, you know, physically and mentally and spiritually in this house, you know, off in the country. And then there are these sort of scrappy thieves that are doing the best they can. But there's definitely a sense that, you know, their lives are so hard, so life and death in a way that we take for granted in a, you know, in a contemporary way. Like, you know, it's very normal that people are dying from illness every day of the week. And so there's a kind of, I've tried to capitalize on that as to find ways to make that humorous, in that it's like what their normal is so shocking to us, but they're able to laugh at it and kind of see it as just daily life. Yeah. So
let's talk a little bit about, if we could, the sort of the technical challenges of putting a novel like Fingersmith on stage. Even at a place as that has virtuoso capabilities like the ART, it started out as a 580 plus page book.
Yes, and
how do you convert that into a play?
It was an incredibly delicious task, and there was a period where I thought, I can't do this. I got to quit. Like, this is just too hard. And I actually flew up to Oregon where they had commissioned it at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And I told everybody I couldn't do it and we should just tell Sarah Waters it wasn't happening. And thankfully they said, okay, well, we'll see you in 2 weeks for the reading, and paid no attention to me. So I appreciated that. But, you know, it's really about figuring out what action you want to be, what, you know, what is the story that you want to tell. And, you know, thankfully this had a real beginning, middle, and end that I could follow and kind of trace the path. And then it's about what action, you know, how to condense the action, and, you know, hard decisions about things to get rid of that, you know, are really compelling. And at one point I also called them up and said, would you consider making this a two-night affair with, you know, like a sort of Nicholas Nickleby? And everybody's heads exploded. I could hear it on the other end of the phone. But I think it's about like really defining what the journey of the women at the center is going to be, and then making sure that the action services that and is kind of, I'm being faithful to the emotional story as much as I would love to include so many of the other characters that are in the book and wonderful sequences.
Yeah. Has Sarah Waters seen it? She must have seen it.
So, yeah. She came out to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and was there opening night, and she's just delightful. I have to say, she actually has been reading drafts as we've gone along. And, you know, she's a PhD in Victorian literature. So I think she's, you know, very aware of, you know, the sort of historical, the importance of historical accuracy, although she also uses anachronism to kind of make the piece feel real in mm-hmm. a way. But no, she was so supportive. And she actually said, we were on a panel together, and she admitted that when I had first approached her about the rights, she was a little bit nervous about it. And she said, she just couldn't figure out why an American would want to adapt such a,
really?
You know, really sort of, you know, British subject and novel. And then it sort of evolved a little bit. And she said, you know, honestly, I was worried about what the accents would sound like, because, you know, it's hard sometimes for us to hear the Americans doing, you know, these dialects.
Did you tell her we feel likewise when British actors try to do American accents?
Yes. I did not bring that up, but she sort of trumped me, because she said, I have three words for you: Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yes. And the world's worst English accent in Mary Poppins.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's traumatized the entire.
Well, before I let you go, just briefly, I mean, in the introduction, I reminded folks that you've written for television as well, for Friends, Sex and the City, The West Wing. We just got a couple seconds here, but how does that differ from trying to put a story like Fingersmith on stage?
Well, this particular story, because there is so much plot and so much story, that a lot of the story breaking skills that I have been useful, but it's been inspiring to be able to lift it up and work on something that's three-dimensional in this way.
Well, Alexa Young is the playwright of Fingersmith. It's playing now through January 8th of 2017 at the American Repertory Theatre in Cambridge. She's also a multiple Emmy and WGA award nominee. And by the way, we've got more information about the ART's production at our website, radioboston.org. Alexa Young, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you
so much.
It's been wonderful.